to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Now, for you who mark your Bibles and write the name and date that a preacher preaches from that text, you will find my name. For I have preached from this text back in 2017 here at the High Point Camp Meeting. It is certainly a blessing and privilege to be back here in these services. The Lord has put camp meeting in my heart, and I love the atmosphere, and I thank God for the spirit of worship, the spirit of encouragement and challenge that you receive in meetings like this. And it is a blessing to be back here again tonight. And you pray for us as we preach. Right before I preach, I'd like to sing a song, if it's all right. Is that all right? If I can remember everything I need to remember. Sometimes I just don't get that done like I need to. One day as I was thinking of unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me, and He filled me with His love. Now I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, you know, they've turned their back on me. But I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul. For I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now give me this gospel trumpet, and I'll sound it wherever I can. It'll carry me home to Jesus, yonder in that promised land. For I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read from 2 Kings chapter number 4. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4. The Bible said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. And thee upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You can be seated. I'm interested in verse number 2, where the widow woman replies to Elisha and said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I want to look at the oil. You and I understand that oil has always been a picture of the person and work of the Spirit of God in our lives. I understand that Elisha was trying to get this lady to focus on the remedy for her dilemma, the answer to all of her problems, present and future, were found in the oil. And I am glad that, as it has already been said, that the Spirit of God indwells the life of every believer. And therein is the answer and remedy to all of our dilemmas and our problems in life, present and future. I realize when you think about oil, oil is used in many different ways. It is used as a softening and seasoning agent for food. Thank God for some oil. If you and I had to eat everything bland, everything unseasoned, there would be many folks that would look forward to sitting down at the table. But thank God for the oil. You put oil on meat to soften it, to prepare it for frying or roasting. There must be some oil. There is oil used in the preparation of vegetables, and they season those vegetables, give them a certain flavor. Thank God for the oil. I don't know about you, but I like good half-runner green beans. Don't care for Blue Lakes or Creases, but I like them half-runner green beans. My mama and my mother-in-law and now my wife know how to fix them like I like to eat them. And they all used oil in preparing those green beans. Now you can eat unseasoned green beans and you will receive the same amount of nutrients as you would receive eating green beans that are seasoned. And tonight, I would much rather eat the beans with seasoning than unseasoned. And the point I'm here to make is, I realize the Word of God has all the nutrients in it that you ever need. But if you have to digest it unseasoned, it doesn't taste very well. But if the Holy Ghost will touch the Word of God and season it, how it encourages, how it lifts up, how it helps our hearts and our lives. It's the Holy Ghost who softened my heart one night. It is the Spirit of God who softened your heart and you saw your need of a Savior, and God by grace saved you from your sin. Thank God for the oil. I'm glad you can come to church. You can hear the truth. You can hear the songs of Zion sung. But it's a whole lot better when the oil of the Spirit of God anoints it and seasons it with His presence. Oil is used in the preparation of food. But oil is also used in a medical way. You remember the Good Samaritan that found the thief who had fell among the thieves. And they left him for dead. And the Levite and the priest passed him on by. But thank God for the Good Samaritan who went over and bent down and saw the man's need. And you know what he did? He reached into his belongings, pulled out some oil and wine, and began to pour that oil into his wounds. You know what he is doing? He is trying to promote healing. He was trying to help that man recover from those nearly fatal wounds. Oh, thank God. Do you remember a time when you were cut to the quick? Your heart was rent because of someone you had confidence in. Maybe it hurt you, but the sweet Holy Ghost went to pour into your wound to bring about healing and help to your soul. The oil is a very important commodity. But I want to look at the oil in the context of the scripture that I have read to you tonight. Number one, I want to say that the portion of the oil was little. There wasn't much oil in that woman's flask. There wasn't enough oil in her little container to fill this vessel 6 or 7 times over. It would take to even fill this little vessel of water. There just wasn't much oil in her little container. But may I remind you that God has always been interested in using the little things to accomplish His work. Thank God. That gives me hope tonight that He'll use something and someone little in His service. I realize that this woman, all she could see was what she didn't have. She replied to Elisha, "All that this handmaid has is nothing save a pot of oil." She was looking
at what she didn't have. But Elisha wanted her to focus on what she did have. Hallelujah. She thought she didn't have anything. She had sold it all. But Elisha was trying to get her to realize, hey, you've got a little flask of oil in your house. There's a lot of church folks. They won't always bring up what we don't have, and we ought to concentrate on what we do have. Amen. But she could only see what she didn't have. She was focused on her emptiness. But Elisha wanted her to focus on fullness. All she could talk about was a little pot of oil. But Elisha said, go get all the vessels you can get, small, large, and extra large, and pour into those vessels until they're full. And there's a lot of folks, all they can ever see is the emptiness. They need to go to looking at the fullness like Elisha did. Sometimes we want to focus on what we don't know instead of what we do know. And I am not belittling anyone's tragedy or heartache. I do not have the answers for those kinds of happenings. And I do not belittle the heartache and the pain that accompanies their occurrence. But I am here to tell you, if you spend your life wondering why, asking if, and trying to figure out why something occurred, you'll spin your wheels and die without any victory in your heart. You see, she was concentrating on what she didn't know. She didn't know what the future held. Her sons were going to be let off as servants and slaves to the creditor. But Elisha wanted her to realize what she did know. And tonight, I may not know why things have occurred in your life or mine, but I do know that there's a Savior who loves me. I do know He saved me by grace. I do know He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. I do know He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can concentrate on what we do know tonight. The portion of the oil was little. Number two, the pot of oil was left. And by that, I mean this. She did not bring the oil with her when she came to Elisha. Because Elisha says, what do you have in the house? And she replies, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. She has left that pot of oil at the house. For whatever reason, it could have been too cumbersome to carry. It could have been an aggravation to look after. I do not know. But I do know this. She has left that little pot of oil back at the house. And the very thing she has left is the very thing God is going to use to meet her need. I do know that. And did you know that the Baptist church has left some things behind that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God uses to meet their needs in life? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I mean tonight that the church has seemingly left that place of prayer out of their services. Oh, you say, preacher, we pray. Yeah, but how many of us can remember the last time somebody prayed in the Holy Ghost, and it's as if the heavens opened up and God began to move in a service. I can remember as a little boy, one of the deacons at my home church, he'd bow and pray, and heaven would swing low. And this evening, it looks like the church has tried other means, and they've looked to other sources. What's wrong with going back to our place of prayer? What's wrong with carrying our burdens to the Lord? It worked in time past. God chose to use it then. He'll use it again today. But we've left it at the house. The very thing that can meet our need, we've left it behind. And just let me say something to us preachers tonight. Our sermons are finessed. Our sermons are informative. Our sermons are structured. Our sermons are alliterated. Our sermons are studied for. But I am here to tell you the pulpit has forgot and they've left behind the fact that a man needs the anointing of the Holy Ghost on their life. I'm as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal tonight. Unless he touches what I do, unless he touches what you do, it don't amount to anything. And we have left it behind. The very thing that will help us, the very thing that will lift us up above the shadows, feed our people, we have left it at the house. We need his touch again. I've heard preachers, and I've been guilty myself, we'll about cuss our people for not worshiping, but we won't ever do it in front of them. If you ain't going to worship in front of them, don't you run them down because they don't worship. Because they'll learn how to worship the way you worship. God put you there as the head and the leader, as the under shepherd, and we're to show them the way. And I'm just here to tell you, my folks ain't going to get up and go to praising God and me just sit there. I'm going to try to encourage them all I can. I'll stand up with them and I'll encourage them. And if I see somebody near deep water, I'm going to push them in and let them get a good dose of it. And they'll want to get back in. Hallelujah. It helps some of you tonight to get in over your head again. Been a long time. But we've left that anointing. We've left that place of prayer. We have left trusting God's promises to meet our needs. We've left it. We need some folks that will just take God as His word again. The pot of the oil was left. The portion of the oil was little. But lastly tonight, the position of the oil was last. There wasn't anything left in the house. The last thing she had was that pot of oil. You say, well, preacher, what can be done? Well, I'm just here to tell you, God just doesn't use little things. God uses last things. How many of y'all want to be last? It just ain't in me. I used to be able to play a little golf, and I just didn't go to have fun. I went to win. Didn't win much, but I went to win. I don't like coming in second. I want to come in first. And some of you don't need to look at me so funny. Y'all the same way too. Nobody likes to be last. I remember going to elementary school back yonder in the, you know. I could walk to school from my house in town, and my parents didn't have to worry about somebody kidnapping me. I could ride my bicycle to school and I didn't even have to lock it up. It was there when the day was over. And we used to gather early before the bell rung out on the field there, and we'd play softball or dodgeball or something. And when we got enough people there, we would elect two captains, and they would go to choosing sides. And the first captain would choose one, then the other captain would alternate, and he would choose one until everybody was chosen. And that last person that was chosen, it was pitiful. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you could have been that last person chosen. It is not a good position to be in. It is embarrassing. That last person couldn't even foul the ball, much less put it in play. It was humiliating to be chosen as the last. But I just want to tell you, I did read in the Bible where he said that many that are first shall be last. And the last shall be first. Hallelujah tonight. Aren't you glad that if you're last, God said, I'm going to move you all the way up to the front of the line. He can use the last things in our life. You remember that widow woman of Zarephath? You know what God done? God used that last course, that last meal, and took care of a widow woman, her son, and the man of God for probably 2 years or longer. I mean, every time she went back to that barrel of flour, there's enough flour to make supper. And there's enough oil in that cruse to make bread for supper. Every time she went there at lunch, there's enough flour in that barrel to make bread and enough oil to mix in it to have for lunch. I'm glad God can take the very last things you and I have and multiply it and use it to meet our needs in life. You remember them three Hebrew children? Nebuchadnezzar raised up an idol that stood way high. And he said, now, when you hear that music go to playing, you bow down to this image and worship him. That music went to playing, and there's three Hebrew children that did not bow. And they stood out like sore thumbs. And you know what? They got reported to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, being the kind, merciful king he was, said to them boys, said, now I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one more chance. This is your last chance. And when you hear that music, you bow down and we'll call everything even. It'll be all right. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, whether God will deliver us from that burning fiery furnace or not, be it known unto you this day that we will not bow before your image, we'll not worship that golden image. Hey, it was their last chance, but before they felt the heat of the fire, the Lord was already in the fire looking after them. I say, bless his name. He used the last child. God said to Samuel, go anoint one of David's sons, king over Israel. He said, all right, filled his horn with oil. Well, walked in, seen Eliab standing right there in front of him, and he said to himself, surely, this is the Lord's anointed before me. And the Lord said, nope, he ain't the one. He said, for the Lord looks on the heart, and you're looking on the outward appearance, Samuel, but I'm a looking on his heart. He ain't the one. He moved on down to Abinadab, and the Lord said, mm-mm. Not him either. He looked at Shammah, and the Lord said, no, not him. He went down through every son Jesse had, and the Lord said, no, sirree. And Samuel said, are there any children left in your family? And you know what Jesse said? He said, there remaineth
a boy, there remaineth a son, and he's a looking after my sheep. Jesse referred to David as a remainder. I don't know if you know what a remainder is, but when I was in school, when you divided into a number and it wouldn't divide equally, there was always a remainder. That is, a little leftover. It wasn't of much importance. And that's exactly what Jesse thought about David, his youngest son. He is the last child in his family. But I'm glad, hallelujah, the Lord was looking on the last child, and God anointed him king over all of Israel. I'm just here to tell you, if you've come to the last time, to the last moment that you feel like you can't go on, I'm glad the Lord can use your last times and meet your need. Would you stand tonight? While they come, play something for us, sing some song of invitation.